A lot has happened since we met with you last. May I get an amen on that? We have some of our kids that are sleeping in their trailer, trying to find a place to live, along with thousands of others. It's amazing. And to search for a home, go to realtor.com, Butte County, and see what you have available there. One of the homes that the kids looked at, 8 offers. One of them, $120,000 over asking price. Where do you go to find a home? You just about have to leave town. And thousands of people are in the same way. And then yesterday morning we wake up, was it yesterday? I'm losing track of time. Anchorage, Alaska, 7.0 or 2, depending on who you follow. And no way to get home if you live north of Anchorage. You saw the pictures, upheavals in the pavement. Sinkholes. Our grandson did double duty. He works for a day and then he helps people get home by firing up his little puddle jumper and flying them wherever they needed to go. We are living in interesting times. Maybe you say it's because you're close to it. I think we're all close to it. The Lord is coming. I don't know how soon, but it's just one more tick of the clock, and I'm glad to be going home one of these days. I'd like to do that. Is that Peter really preaching? This is for the guys. Ladies, fill in the gaps in any way you want. But you men have just won the sweepstakes. A gleaming F-350 4x4 sitting in the driveway. Ed McMahon has already got the picture of you and your family. Channel 20, whatever, 3 News is sped away for the evening show with their clips. You stand there by this $65,000 rig. Is this really real? Is this a dream? Well, you're clutching the paperwork. It's got your name, your number, your good fortune in print. And notarized. You walk around the truck, your palms are sweaty. They're soaking up the ink off the paper. Your heart is beating in your ears. You seem to know that this is happening, but it's so like a dream. Now, I don't know what your ladies are thinking there. Insert your own dream. That's my dream. On September 1, just 3 months ago today, by the way, we left Peter in this sanctuary. We left him with a 40-something-year-old male, lifelong cripple, but now completely healed. You don't have to remember. I'm just jogging a little bit here so that you can catch up to this morning. The Apostle Peter said that day, in the words that many of us learned when we were kids, "Silver and gold I have none. But what I have, we give to you." Today, I try to forget that it's been 3 months since we visited, and walk with me back to the colonnade. Solomon's porch, if you will, runs along the east side of Temple Mount, just to the south end of it. There's the man. He's the one that Peter healed just a moment ago. He's holding on to Peter and John as if he's afraid this is a dream. He glances around, he sees some friends, and then he sees a neighbor, Ezra. "Hey, Ezra, look at me. It's me. I'm standing." He swings around to hug Peter with a bear hug again, and then he notices Tamar. "Tamar, look, it's me. It's me." Acts 3:11 lets us know that the crowd was swelling all up and down the colonnade. It's a popular meeting area. Eyes are wide, mouths agape, and listen, Peter has seized the moment. An earlier Peter might have taken all the credit to himself, squandered this opportunity, stealing the sweet moment of glory from God himself. But not now. Listen, men and women of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our power or godliness we had made this man walk? Yes, Peter. This is a different Peter than we've known in the past. Giving God the glory. Peter, they're listening. He continues, "The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers," he says, "our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus." Peter now has earned the right to say what he's going to say next. "Our fathers, our fathers. You handed him over. You disowned the righteous one. You killed the author of life, in whose name this man was healed. But brothers, I know you acted in ignorance. But let me tell you, God let us know by the prophets that Messiah would suffer. He drives the nail home, but he sugarcoats it as best he can. Brothers, I know you acted in ignorance, and the prophets have let us know that Jesus must suffer. So even though you fulfilled prophecy, there's still hope. How often has Jesus suffered because of something you and I have done or said? I could list them by the dozen. So could you. Much of it in ignorance, I believe. Some, however, with eyes wide open. What about it? Have you earned your wages for your sins? I have earned those wages. I have earned those wages. Israel's leaders and people had too. But that doesn't change God's promises one whit. Let the Lord's invitation through Peter touch your hearts today. And there is a heart that needs to be touched, mine included. Repent, Peter says. Repent then. Turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Times of refreshing always follow repentance. The Holy Spirit stands by to refresh, to renew, to take care of what needs to be taken care of. It's a beautiful thing to be wrapped in the presence of the Holy Spirit. What is this scripture saying? Well, Peter knows something of repentance, the indwelling of the Spirit of Christ. He knows something of the coming of Christ. He doesn't awaken these mornings without his spiritual rebirth flashing across his screen, morning by morning by morning. When Simon looked full on into the eyes of Jesus that day, after cowardly denying any connection with him, the old man died. Absolutely died. Peter didn't pour up a little embarrassment and stir in some carefully chosen words of self-justification and denial and call it repentance. He did what any one of you will do or have done when God opened up your core to see, let you see what was inside. Well, I can remember the day that my core was exposed. It was awful. It stunk. I could hardly stand to look at it. But Jesus had prepared me for that day with his sweet Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, he comes in all his warmth and all of his courage and all of his affirmation. Jesus has taken care of it. I'm just here to let you know. It's all okay. It's not your fault. Born this way, hurt this way, damaged this way. Praise the Lord. He closed the door on what he was healing. And I've been living ever since. And you know, a lot of you know, what that's like. The Holy Ghost says this morning, the sinful human heart is exceedingly deceitful. Who of us can really know it? Can't trust myself anymore. How about you? Can't trust myself anymore. But I can trust him. Praise the Lord. How many of us have sobbed out our sinfulness and our brokenness in transparent confession? I hope that no one here has closed that door. It's still open. God wants you. He wants me in heaven. He wants me with himself. What does Peter know about the refreshing power of the Holy Spirit? Well, Peter's will, his power to make good choices, has been returned to him by the Holy Spirit. He has a new taste for spiritual life. He has new desires welling up from within. It's not Peter. Peter knows it's not him. It is the Holy Spirit of God. New decisions to go in new directions. Spiritual insight has come. Obedience to Christ has become a personal desire. Make me willing to be made willing. We've prayed that prayer, haven't we? Being God's friend is now his passion. Sounds like someone I want working in my life. How about you? And does Peter know anything about the return of Jesus Christ? Oh my. He, along with others of the disciples, got a personal preview of his appearing way down here where we're living. You recall that Peter, with those other two or three, we're on the mountain with Jesus, and something happened. All of a sudden, Jesus is praying, and the apostles, disciples, fidgeting or sleeping or whatever they were doing, are awakened by two bright personages. Elijah, Elijah, sorry, Elijah, and Moses. And they represent who? Moses represents those who are resurrected to see Jesus come. Elijah representing those who live to see him come and never taste of death. A miniature second coming of Christ. Peter experienced that. Peter in his own words. Let's turn to 2 Peter 1 and just look at those verses 16 through 18. 1 Peter 1. Let me try 2 Peter. The 1 is correct, but not 1 Peter. 2 Peter. Second Peter chapter 1, 16 through 18. We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. And we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you do well to pay attention to it as a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Lift up the trumpet. Loud let it ring. Jesus is coming again. I don't know when. It doesn't matter. But as I look out over the congregation this morning, there are heads here that show that they're 5 years older than when we left this congregation. You might go to sleep tonight, and that would be your introduction to Jesus. No thinking of the time passing. The very next thought would be, whoa, is this real? Is that Jesus? If I went to sleep tonight, it'd be okay. My wife doesn't think so. If she went to sleep tonight, it wouldn't be okay, I can tell you. But I'll tell you one thing. Everybody goes to sleep with Jesus in their hearts is ahead of the game. Way beyond Satan's pale. No more temptations, no more doubts, no more conundrums. I still want to live. Don't we? But whether we live or die, we will see Jesus coming if he's our Savior. We will see him. Well, you've been listening to Peter today from the porch of Solomon. What do you think of this Jesus? The one he calls the Christ, our Messiah. The one we have each by our own sin and playing our own parts crucified again and again and again. Holy Spirit comes in close and says, hey, that's past. That's past. Don't let him talk to you like that. That's past. Peter's bold speech to Israelite leaders the very next day after this sermon included these words, "Salvation is found in no other name, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." If we believe this to be true, then what's going to be your first waking thought tomorrow morning? Jesus, I want you to know how important you are in my life. In fact, you're more important now than you were yesterday, because I understand a little more. I see you're working a little more in my life and in other lives. There you have it. Our work is to seek out Jesus every morning and let him know that we know that he's really important in our lives, that without him we're really nothing. You've heard of Charles Spurgeon. He has a quote, and I'm paraphrasing it because I didn't have it. I have it somewhere, but I don't know where it is. It's in a box. But he says, a new Christian who has just come to Christ knows by experience and knows by sense of God's Spirit that he is nothing. And then the great evangelist goes on to say, those of you who are living in the latter part of the life where you've given your whole life to Christ, your whole term of existence, that person knows that he's worth even less. End of quote. So where are you today? If your value is this in your own eyes, it sure helps. Makes it easier. Christ looks really good. If you have quite an opinion of yourself, and I'll tell you, we've all been there, then it doesn't come quite as shocking or as such good news, but when you really see that door open up and see what's inside, you want to close it real quick. I do. But the Lord sends his Spirit and says, hey, it's all the past. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Welcome. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we love you today. We love Jesus, the one who is your son and our Savior and our brother. Not that you made him any time in the past, but he has taken over the sonship that Adam lost and has made us sons with him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And we pray it in your holy and lovely name. Amen.